Welcome to Pardes Daily, where you get your daily dose of Torah with Pardes faculty. This month, Pardes is bringing Elul to you. Let's dive in.
Hello, everyone. This is Zvi Hirschfield, again recording for you from my home in Gush Etzion. We are today beginning the fourth chapter of Tractate Rosh Hashanah. So if you've been with me from the beginning, you finished a whole chapter of Gemara, Kol HaKavod. You finished chapter 3. Now we're moving on to chapter 4 on page 29b, Chaftet Amud Bet. We'll begin with the opening Mishnah. Yom Tov Shel Rosh Hashanah Shechal Liyot B'Shabbat B'Mikdash Hayu Tokin Aval Lo B'Medina Mishacharav Beit HaMikdash Hidkin Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai Shiyu Tokin B'Chol Makom Sheyesh Bo Beit Din. The Mishnah says as follows. On Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah that happens to fall out on Shabbat, like it does this year, in the Mikdash they would blow the shofar, but they would not blow shofar in the Medina. When the Mikdash was destroyed, however, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a takana that they would actually blow the shofar anywhere there was a Beit Din. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar said, Lo hitkin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai ela b'Yavne bilvat. That's not the case. He only allowed shofar blowing only in Yavne, as we'll see later, perhaps a Beit Din equivalent of Yavne, which was the Sanhedrin of 71 great scholars. Amru lo, echad Yavna of echad kol makom sheish bo Beit Din. They said to Rabbi Elazar, Yavna and any place that has a Beit Din was included in Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's takana. Ve'od zot haita Yerushalayim yeterah al Yavna. There was another advantage that Yerushalayim had over Yavna. Shekol ir shehi ro'a v'shamat or korva v'chola lavo tokin. Any city or suburb that could see or could hear or was close to Yerushalayim, to the Mikdash or to Yerushalayim, as we'll see in a moment, they would also blow shofar. Uveyavna lo tokin ela beveit din bilvat. But in Yavna, they only blew shofar in the place where the Beit Din sat. Now, there is a debate. Rashi understands Medina to mean that, or Mikdash rather, to mean only the Beit HaMikdash, and they didn't blow shofar on Shabbat anywhere else. Rambam, however, understood Mikdash to include Yerushalayim, which fits better with the last part of the Mishnah that spoke about the greater latitude the Yerushalayim had over Yavna. For Rashi and those who explain the Mishnah like Rashi, they have to understand the last section as talking about when the Sanhedrin still sat in Yerushalayim after the destruction of the Mikdash, and it was the new Makom Beit Din before they left for Yavna. It's a bit of a stretch, which is why Rambam read it the way Rambam read it. In any event, we have a point that the shofar was not blown on Shabbat on Rosh Hashanah. We're not told why, except for the Mikdash, or if you're the Rambam in Yerushalayim. However, after the destruction, Yochanan ben Zakkai made a takana, and the shofar was now blown on Shabbat of Rosh Hashanah in a place of Beit Din, and we'll talk later on towards the bottom what type of Beit Din is being referred to. Now we carry on with the Gemara. Minah hani mile. From where do we know this? What is our source that on Shabbat you would not blow shofar? Amar Rabbi Levi bar Lachma, Amar Rabbi Chama bar Chanina. Rabbi Levi bar Lachma said the name of Rabbi Chama bar Chanina. Katuv echad omer Shabbaton zichron truah, uva katuv echad omer yom truah yelachem. He points out there are two psuki, one in Vayikra and one in Bamidbar. The one in Bamidbar, 29.1, talks about it as a Yom Truah Yelachem, a day of blowing. However, in Vayikra, Rosh Hashanah is referred to as a Shabbaton, a day of rest, Zichron Truah, which I guess is translated as a mentioning of Truah as opposed to an actual Truah. And that was his drash. Therefore, lo kasha, there's no contradiction between these two psukim, kan b'yom tov shechaliot b'shabbat, kan b'yom tov shechaliot b'chol. So he said, one pasuk, when it's called zichron truah, the mentioning of a truah, but not an actual truah, that's referring to a Rosh Hashanah that fell out on Shabbat. And when it calls it a yom truah, that's when Rosh Hashanah fell out on a weekday. Therefore, basically saying there is already biblical support for the idea that you would blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, as long as Rosh Hashanah did not fall out on Shabbat. Amar Rava. Rava is going to take issue with this explanation. E midoraita hi b'mikdash hechi takina. If it's actually a biblical thing not to blow, if there's a pasuk not to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah that fell out on a Shabbat, then why are they doing it in the mikdash? V'od halav malachahi de'itzrich kra limute. And not only that, I don't need a pasuk to tell me not to that I shouldn't blow shofar when it's Shabbat. It's not even a malacha. There's no reason that the Torah should tell me not to do it. There's no problem with it. As he points out, the Tani Devei Shmuel, as is taught in the house of Shmuel, Kol Melechet Avodah Lo Ta'asu. When the Pasuk said you can't do certain things on Shabbat or on Chag, Yatzat Kia Shofar Ur Diat Hapat Shehi Chochma Ve'ena Malacha. The Pasuk is coming to exclude blowing shofar or removing the bread from the oven. Radiata pot, they used to, when they would make pita or loaves of bread, they would stick it to the side of the oven, and therefore after it was cooked, you would have to carefully learn how to remove it, and there's a possibility to think that both of these things are prohibited labors on Shabbat. But what the Braita is telling you is that they are not labors on Shabbat. They are only prohibited rabbinically, because they are considered a chokhmah, but not a malacha. And since they are not prohibited, or in our case, since tkiat shofar is not prohibited on Shabbat, there's no reason, Rava is saying, that the Torah would tell you not to do it. So therefore, Rava says, this idea that this is a biblical concept, that we don't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah on Shabbat, is not true, because first of all, it doesn't make sense. If it really was a biblical prohibition, why would we do it in the Mikdash? And number two, it's obviously, there's no reason the Torah would tell us not to do it, because there's really nothing prohibited about it. It's only a rabbinic prohibition. Therefore, there's no reason that the Torah would have told you not to do it. Ella Amar Rava, rather Rava explained the Mishnah as follows. Midor Raita Mishra Shari. For Rabbanan Hu DeGezur Bei. Rather, biblically, on a biblical level, it's totally permitted to blow shofar. Rather, there was a Gzeirah de Rabbanan. The Chachamim said, Sheva al Taseh, don't do it. It's an example of the rabbis using their authority to tell people, don't fulfill a positive commandment. Rather, sit idle. Why? Kedarabba. As Rabba explained, to Amar Rabba, Hakol Chayrim B'Tkiat Shofar, Veina Kol B'Ki'in B'Tkiat Shofar, Gzera Shema Yitlenu B'Yado, V'Yelech Etzel HaBaki L'Mod, V'Avirenu Arba Amot B'Rshut HaRabim. Rabba explained, since all are obligated in the blowing of shofar, and not all know how to blow shofar, they made a rabbinic ruling not to blow, because otherwise people might take the shofar in their hand to take it over to a teacher to learn how to blow shofar on Shabbat, and they will end up carrying the shofar for a mot in the public domain and violating Shabbat. So therefore, to prevent this violation of Shabbat, if people felt if people were actually commanded to blow shofar on Shabbat of Rosh Hashanah, the rabbis decreed not to do it, sheva al ta'aseh, in order to avoid or to prevent violation of Shabbat. And he goes on, v'hainu tama de lulav, v'hainu tama de megillah. This is the same reason they prohibited taking a lulav on Shabbat of Sukkot, and it's the same reason they also, even when Purim fell out on a Shabbat, they prohibited the reading of the megillah, so people would not carry these items in the public domain. Carrying on in the Mishnah, Mishachara Beit HaMikdash Hitkin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Right, the Lama Mishnah said that after the Mikdash was destroyed, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a takana, made an ordinance. Tanu Rabbanan, it was taught in a Braita, Pam Achat Chal Rosh Hashanah LeYom B'Shabbat, V'Hayu Kol HaArim Mitkansin. One time it happened, Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbat, and all the surrounding areas gathered, presumably in Yavne. Amar lahem Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai livnei v'teira nitka. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai turned to Bnei v'teira and said, blow the shofar. Amru lo nadun. He said, well, let's talk about it, whether we should blow shofar or not. Presumably it was Shabbat, and it was a question mark. Should we blow shofar on Shabbat of Rosh Hashanah or not? Amar lahem nitka v'achar kach nadun. First blow, then we'll discuss it. Lachar shetaku amru lo nadun. So after they blew shofar, then the other sages said to him, okay, let's discuss it to see if this was the right thing. Amar lahem kvar nishma keren biyavna ve'ein mishivin lachar masa. He said to them, the horn has already been heard in Yavna, and there is no going back after it's been done. Pretty crafty of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He made them do it first, basically undermining any possibility of discussing it afterwards, because he basically told them what's done is done. Amar Rabbi Elazar, going back to the Mishnah, lo hitkin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai elo biyavna bilvad. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai only authorized shofar blowing in Yavna exclusively. Amru lo, in the Mishnah, they said to him, to Rabbi Elazar, Echad Yavna v'chad kol makom sheish bo beiti. They answered back to him, Yavna, every place is a beiti. And then the Gemara interjects, Amru lo hainu taina kama. The author of Amru lo that said Yavna and any other place that is a Beit Din, that's the same opinion as the Tana Kama above, who said that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said you are tokea any place that there's a Beit Din. So why is it in the first part of the Mishnah is presented as the Tana Kama, the anonymous single voice, and then the latter part of the Mishnah is presented as Amru lo as Chachamim? Right? They're saying the exact same thing. There must be a difference between these two views. The Gemara answered, Ika benayhu beidina da'akrai. No, the Gemara says there is a distinction between them, whether a temporary beitin qualifies as a makom beitin. So what this means, there are a couple different ways of understanding the Tana Kama versus the Amru lo. According to the Rambam, what's required by the Tana Kama would be three Musmachim, three Samuch Rabbanim who could have served on a Sanhedrin. As long as you have three of them in a fixed place, that's sufficient. Rashi believed that no, according to the Tana Kama, you would still require 23 what's called a Sanhedrin Ktana, but they'd have to be, according to the Tana Kama, they could be a roving Beit Din, and according to the Amru lo, they'd have to be fixed. Now, interestingly enough, the Rif understood the Tana Kama's position that any Beit Din, even a non-Samuch Beit Din, even a non-Sanhedrin fit Beit Din, could serve as a Beit Din for the purpose of Tkiyat Shofar, which is why the Rif, in his own Beit Din, they used to blow Shofar on Rosh Hashanah when it fell out on Shabbat, in his Beit Din, which is a very interesting phenomena, but the Shulchan Aruch and everyone paskened that it had to be minimally three smuchim, three sages who could have served on the Sanhedrin, and therefore the Rif's practice fell away. So we had a nice short one today. Next time we're going to pick it up from the bottom of Chavtet Amud Bet. Thank you for joining me. I look forward to learning more of you tomorrow.
Thank you to our Pardes faculty, and thank you to you, our learners. Make sure to check back in at the beginning of each week to stay on track with your Elul learning, and visit www.pardes.org.il for more information about Pardes and our programs.